College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Super Week is all about fattening foods.
Put the good meat out for Dusty.
Big screens.
Come to my garage and we'll film something, bud.
And good sportsmanship.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
How about you shut up?
This is Danny and Dusty on Super Week.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080. The Fan.
Right, Earth, here on a Monday. We're listening on 1080 AM. Watch along on YouTube.com/1080 AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080 AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. We went through basically the first 2 hours of the show with almost exclusively NBA coverage on Super Bowl week.
It was crazy.
And we'll get back to it here in just a minute.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about the Blazers except for like one segment.
And it was kind of sprinkled in there. We'll talk about that.
Talking about trades.
Yes.
But they're actually playing good basketball too.
What? But there is a very big news.
Mm.
A bit of breaking news, as it is a couple hours later here, though. All world pass rusher for the Cleveland Browns, Myles Garrett, has requested a trade.
He's like, I want in on this trade and stuff. Yeah, this is not surprising one bit. I mean, it really isn't, because of he's been signaling this for quite some time. I mean, even before the new year, he was talking about, like, hey, I want to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't go through another rebuild here. And that, to me, when you look at Myles Garrett, what about the Cleveland Browns right now says that they are close? And I know just last week, their general manager was talking at the Senior Bowl saying, we are not going to trade, was it Barry? He said, we're not going to trade. Andrew Berry said, we're not going to trade Myles Garrett. Full stop. Even if you guys want to say, for the hypothetical 2 first-round picks, we're not trading him.
Yeah, they are.
They're going to have to now, because what Myles Garrett has is he has 2 years left on his deal, non-guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sweetheart of a deal for whoever gets it, right? And he's kind of sitting there saying to the Browns, like, dude, I dare you. Because I won't play under this deal right now. 2 non-guaranteed years. He is worth every penny of...
He's arguably the best defensive player in the league.
Breaking the bank.
It's him. It's TJ Watt. You know.
Well, there have only been... So, since 1982 when they started recording sacks, there's only been 5 players that have gotten to that mark before they're 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Reggie White, DeMarcus Ware, TJ Watt, Jared Allen.
So some
and
of the
Myles
best,
Garrett.
So some of the best pass rushers in the history of the
He's
game.
Been really damn good.
Yeah.
He's been really damn good.
DeMarcus Ware really is underrated in where he ranks in the all-time pantheon.
I would say so, yeah.
Really, really good.
Yeah. Especially in your first 8 years in the mm-hmm. NFL, getting to and he is second. DeMarcus Ware had 111 sacks in his first 8 seasons. That's crazy.
It's insane.
That's crazy talk. But for Myles Garrett, I applaud him for being a good soldier for as long as he has been in Cleveland. And the turnaround that he has seen in his time since being a Cleveland Brown has been pretty incredible. Now, if you're the Browns, though, you're not going to win with Deshaun Watson. And you guys gave him that stupid contract that you knew at the time it would be really hard for him to live up to. Well, he's never going to live up to it. You know that now. And so Myles Garrett is sitting there going, all right, what are we going to do to turn us into a win now team? He's even saying, like, we're not that far off, but you are a mile away.
Your offense is a mile away.
When you have Deshaun Watson dragging you down.
And they do have the opportunity to get out of his contract and have an arbitration based on his medicals to retire him.
And that's going to be tough.
Well, look, if I'm the Browns, I'm doing everything I can to get him to retire. Take your money and go. Yeah,
because you have to fight with the NFLPA on that, and that's going to be the tough one. It's like some NFLPA lawyers are like, do I really have to go on this guy's behalf?
Yeah, but okay. they could also get him, like, if they get a medical board, mm-hmm. they can get him to unfit to play.
Yeah,
he would still get every penny.
You have had 2 Achilles ruptures in a calendar year,
and your shoulder is falling off.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and say no, dog.
Yeah, and that's again. But the hope is you get Deshaun Watson to step away voluntarily, getting every penny.
But I also think, though, with Myles Garrett, the hard part is nobody that you're going to bring in is going to bring you over the top to win a Super Bowl while you are still a
very unlikely.
Player.
And no, don't get me wrong. If all of a sudden they have a metric crap ton of cap space, which they would because the big money kicked in with him with Deshaun Watson now. Obviously, the first year was just a million. Now it's, was it 42 to 60 or something like that? It's a massive number. But if all of a sudden, if they had that space, they could do something pretty drastic.
But you can't go get a quarterback. I mean, because if you could do that, Steelers would do it.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But I mean, like the things that they could do. You know, you can load up basically everywhere else.
Well, they did about as good as they could with getting Jameis Winston this past year. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's where you're at. Because, like, we talk about this all the time with the teams that don't have quarterbacks. You go to the scrap heap. And in Cleveland, Sam Darnold isn't good enough.
I was saying,
Daniel Jones isn't good enough.
If you did get Sam
Russell
Darnold,
Wilson,
but you also went and got a wide receiver, another wide receiver, which you could financially.
Mm-mm.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm.
You don't think if you had that offensive line with Chubb and Njoku and a number one wide receiver and what, no. Judy?
No. Unfortunately, I believe that going against the Steelers and Ravens twice a year
does
probably
that,
not
sure.
going to be in the best interest of Sam Darnold. I like Sam Darnold.
You don't want to send him to the wood chipper?
No, but I think we forget how special... Like the confluence of events were that made this year so good
for Minnesota,
Sam Darnold.
For sure.
And when it fell apart,
boy,
it was spectacular.
Yeah. It was epic.
It was.
Go out with a bang. Go out with a bang.
But dude, it went sideways on him.
Where do you think Myles Garrett ultimately just gets a 4-year contract fully guaranteed, or do you think he gets moved?
I think he gets moved. Who? I think he gets moved.
Where is he going? Because I have one. I have one, no doubt.
I don't think they're going to send him to the AFC, so that puts him in the NFC.
Mm-hmm. And not that far away.
Oh, you think he goes to Detroit?
Green Bay.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
They love their picks, though.
Just saying.
I could see him going to Washington.
Ooh, that'd be...
I could see him. I could
have him end up being what they thought. What's his name from Ohio State was going to be.
I feel like that could be. Are you talking about Young?
Yeah,
Chase Young.
Yeah,
that could be very scary
because they have room.
They have salary cap space. Mm-hmm. They have a draft pick that they'd be like. I mean, we'd be willing to part with draft picks because we feel like we're going to be at the bottom of the first round for the next few years.
They are this year.
Yeah, so you sit there and you go. Yeah, we'll give you 2 firsts. Cleveland, go ahead. I don't think that we would see 2 firsts. But, like, we'll give you a first and a player. And you can have that 29th overall selection. And we'll be sitting here with Myles Garrett. I'd be a good trade.
And you can go get, you know, your quarterback there. You can go get Jackson Dart at the end of the first round.
Yeah, or what you do is you say, we'll give you a first-round pick in 2026. If you guys don't love who the quarterbacks are in this draft... then we'll give you a 2026 because we're going to be even better with Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
And then next year you guys can use whatever capital you have, and if you want to move up for a quarterback next year, you can go ahead and do that. You could have one or the other. I mean.
The other one is if Detroit just goes full all in and says, F them picks. I saw, Colton. Colton Pouncey, I think he's the writer for the Athletic in Detroit. He had a mock trade that was on Good Morning Football that was Jahmyr Gibbs, 2 firsts and a 3rd for Myles Garrett. And he goes, they need to put down the drugs
because
they're not getting Jahmyr Gibbs and 2 firsts. The person who wrote that was the Browns general manager. Like, that's like, you wouldn't even get Jahmyr Gibbs.
Well, I mean, the text message is saying Jerry Jones might be willing to give up all the firsts for Myles Garrett.
Lean into defense.
We have Micah Parsons and Myles Garrett.
And not pay Micah.
And don't have anybody else. We're just going to let them rush that quarterback. I don't know. I think he gets his way. I don't think he goes. I don't think he goes to Dallas. I think he'll go to a contender. I think that
I like one of the up and coming teams, either Green Bay or Washington. I think either of those are good landing spots.
I think they'd be great for him. Yeah, absolutely.
Ooh, be a fun little spot.
Yeah.
I like that.
Green Bay is intriguing.
I wonder, Sean Gary.
I wonder if that's a place that has enough for him, though. You know?
Yeah.
Does he believe in Jordan Love?
I think you're going to certain.
Yeah.
Part of me wants to say you want to go to someplace institutionally that makes sense. And the Packers certainly are that. But the Lions and Commanders aren't.
No.
But they are right now.
You could win now.
And that's, I think that's kind of the juxtaposition of like which you prefer, the stability of an organization like the Packers, who has been historically great for 40 years.
Or he's going to go to the Chiefs.
And they have nothing. They have nothing.
Bad picks.
Watch them win the Super Bowl and then trade Chris Jones. We'll get younger, better version of him.
No. No.
God, don't put the... Oh, God, it made me sick.
I mean, he's not... Well, and Myles Garrett more on the outside. So, they could do it.
God, the knot in my stomach has just appeared. Gross. All right, coming up next, we haven't talked about the other trade in the NBA yet.
What?
De'Aaron Fox was traded to the San Antonio Spurs, and what can we learn about that transaction that we could tie back to the Blazers? Then we'll talk about the Blazers playing the best basketball they've played in 4 years. Danny and Dusty, Tenney the Fan. There's actually another transaction in the NBA today this weekend that transpired that I guess it's kind of going under the radar because it was the biggest freaking trade in sports history as Luka Doncic was moved under the cover of darkness.
Seems significant.
We talked about this on Friday, the idea of De'Aaron Fox going to the San Antonio Spurs was one of the worst kept secrets in the league. It was one of those things that had just been kind of living out there like, yeah, no kidding. That's we've kind of heard about that since the summer. And while those kind of things pop up all the time of where players are trying to steal themselves to, whether it's Donovan Mitchell to the Knicks or KD and Kyrie to the Knicks and ultimately the Nets, like these things are put in place and you see the machinations that help them get there. The Fox one is really interesting because it very much sounded like the Kings were going to try to take this to the summer. And you can argue about leverage or this, that, and the other. Fox basically putting it out there that he wanted to go to the Spurs, but was open to other destinations. If I were the Kings, I would have waited a little bit to see if you could generate some better offers with another year on his contract still.
Isn't that supposed to be against that the new CBA is directing where you want to go?
Well, I don't know if publicly. You noticed this, but in all of the releases, it's only stated that De'Aaron Fox has a place in mind. He was neither requesting...
Yeah, but then literally everybody said, San Antonio...
We all knew the score.
But everybody knowing the score is what they're trying to stop.
Mm-hmm. Look, I mean, it's too clicky. It's too high school-y for that stuff to not get out.
Ugh.
Especially agents and players love to talk. Like, you know, following the news of Luka being traded, the stuff that was said in locker rooms that can't be said publicly was astounding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just like... Oh boy, this is interesting. And we'll, after I get done with this, there's actually some more news as it pertains to stars possibly being traded, Kevin Durant, that is floating things around in the world right now. And it just shows you how unstable that Luka trade made things. And I think that's the thing that made the De'Aaron Fox trade happen.
And that's what I was saying earlier, is that it started to get the ball rolling with the Luka trade. It's what the NBA needed, too, is that message that...
I think it's fear.
Anybody can be traded. And the NBA needs that.
Mm-hmm.
They like it's weird to say that like you're dangling guys like comfort and Luka Doncic buying a $15 million home mm-hmm. and setting down his roots in Texas. And they're like, nope, pack your bags. You're leaving. Like that is not on the up and up. But what the NBA had run into over the last 20 plus years is that the players grabbed so much power,
player empowerment,
that the league had nothing. Mm-hmm. And this is almost the league fighting back and saying, no, we do have control.
It does feel like a bit of a reset. And for those that are unaware, the De'Aaron Fox trade sends De'Aaron Fox to the San Antonio Spurs. It is a three-way deal. The Kings send out Fox, Kevin Huerter, and Red Velvet.
Ronald Threasley.
Oh, Ronald Threasley also as well.
Yep.
Ronald Threasley, great name from a very well-known Blazer fan at ESPN.
Mm.
Just pulled that one out of a hat and shout out to you. But the Kings will receive LaVine, a second-round pick from the French league last year, Sidy Sissoko, and three first-round picks. And again, three in air quotes, because Charlotte's 2025 pick is lottery protected. It will change into 2 second round picks. So that's down to 2 first round picks. The other first round pick, or one of the other first round picks in this, is San Antonio's 2027 pick, which will be at the back end of the first round because the Spurs are not getting worse. Mm-hmm. The one thing of value in this is they got the unprotected Minnesota Timberwolves 2031 pick, and then 3 second round picks. Chicago's in 2025, Denver's in 2028, and the return of their own 2028 pick from Chicago that they used in order to facilitate the DeMar DeRozan deal earlier this season. The Bulls in all of this regained their 2025 first-round pick from the San Antonio Spurs, which hilariously was also top 10 protected, and they were very likely going to get it. Duh. So the Bulls here so far gave up Zach LaVine, got their own pick back, and then took on Zach Collins' bad money, backup guard Trey Jones, and then Kevin Huerter's money, while also waiving Torrey Craig and Quis Duarte in order to clear roster spots. So basically the Kings and the Bulls made transactions to make up for their past mistakes.
Yeah.
Which is always a great bargaining position to be in. And the Spurs gave away nothing of value other than a 2031 first round pick from the Minnesota Timberwolves for De'Aaron Fox. Congratulations.
Yes, but it's going to be a, they were backed into a corner though. When the player demands the trade, and this is where it comes down to, right? If you're backed into a corner, would you expect them to hold on to him for longer and just, you to said to see what they could get?
Because I think you try to leverage Houston. De'Aaron Fox is from Houston. They have assets. They are interested in, or were interested in De'Aaron Fox.
But this goes back to also the playing nice with the player. And in this, what you're outlining is basically what the Blazers did with Damian Lillard. Mm-hmm. Dame wanted to go to Miami.
They did not have the requisite assets to get said deal done.
And so it came down to, all right, if we're not going to send him to Miami, let's send him to a place where he can win, mm-hmm. and he can be successful.
And it's home.
And they found Milwaukee. Well, Milwaukee's
no, I'm
today.
Saying for Fox.
But for Fox, it would be also at home, right? Now, De'Aaron Fox is no Damian Lillard.
No.
But he is a very good player. What would be the ceiling for a Sacramento trade then?
I think if you send him to Houston, you're hoping to peel off. I don't think you could get Amen, but you could get probably like Reed Shepard, Jabari Smith Jr., and some picks.
Okay.
But now you're talking about a rebuild, and from what I understand from folks in Sacramento is that the Kings don't want to rebuild because they have made the playoffs once mm-hmm. in 20 years.
Right.
Well, 7 or 18 to be exact. But they had that one taste, and they don't want to go back to the cellar, even if that means they're a play-in team. They have been so bad and so misguided and so unfortunate to a lot of it to their own detriment and their own doing. Marvin Bagley. Hello, Luka Doncic. Weird. Does somehow Vlade Divac, you know, vindicated in all of this?
Yeah, he is. Vlade, we likes to potty. Yeah, I think he is.
And if you remember, if you go back 8 years, the Sacramento Kings were the ones who gave an RFA offer to Zach LaVine.
Right.
So Vivek, you finally got your man.
You got him.
You got Zach LaVine 8 years later, which is insane to think about. But it's an interesting place for the league to be in because we just got done talking about the league kind of grasping hold of things again. The De'Aaron Fox trade reads the complete opposite. Or the Kings were just in a hurry to get out of the De'Aaron Fox business. And this is where I start kind of looking at things. How many owners right now are sitting down? And I'm not saying they're colluding, but they're colluding. Sitting down and agreeing not to pay players. Now, they make them somebody else's issue, or let's say do the Lakers get to this and it's all said and done, and as great as Luka is, do they play hardball with a contract? Or,
well, I think they both try to go for that Donovan Mitchell deal that we talked about
sure.
earlier, where you go shorter and then give them a longer extension.
But if you're
you
also the
money.
Spurs, do you look at, if you're the Kings and you look at De'Aaron Fox and you're like, do we want to be tied to him and be mediocre? Like, I'd argue if you're the Kings, you should, because you haven't even been mediocre for essentially 20 years. Mediocre is an improvement.
Hey, they were in the playoffs.
They were, and they were number 3 seed. You're right. No, again, and that's the single mark of success over 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I think there's a sliding scale for like where they need to be and where they need to go. But if you are if you're setting your sights higher and you don't want to be in the Deere and Fox business, and he says he doesn't want to be a part of it, do you just cut ties and move on because you don't want to commit that money?
I think that's where the NBA is at now.
I think so, too. Like the Zach LaVines of the world, teams don't want to be tied to those guys with $50+ million.
And I think the jumping off point was Luka Doncic, where the Mavericks were just like,
we went out of the Luka business.
The talent is undeniable. We know the talent is there. Everything else we don't want to put up with. And that is whether it is the blowups at critical times and critical moments of games with that game. I'm thinking game three of the NBA Finals, where he just melts down and boom, it's over, right? When you think of the coming into camp out of shape, the rumors and reports that are out there now of the real reason why Michael Finley grabbed his beer in the post-game celebration wasn't because the cameras were there, but it was because, dude, come on.
It was the cameras there and come on.
We know that you got a little sauce problem, bud. Yeah. You know, all of these things that are coming out in 270-pound Luka Doncic, where they're like, we need to control this. A distressed asset with that calf, and basically their team doctor's going, it's going to happen soon. It's going to happen soon. You know, are all of these things just saying, now teams are going to be like, we're not going to sit and gamble and bet because we can sell a bunch of jerseys. We're going to get rid of these assets now and get out of that business before we have to pay him $345 million super max deal.
That's what they shorted the market. And this is something you and I have talked about for the last couple of weeks. The idea of players in professional sports making too much money in the sense of getting it way too soon. Because if let's just say that you give Luka that extension this summer or the new contract, $345 million guaranteed American dollars at 26 years old. Sure, the talent demands it, but after you've given him that money and it's 100% guaranteed, he can tell you to go to hell.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, they should have gotten a lot more for everything that we're talking about with Luka Doncic. I just feel like we should always say that, like, oh my gosh, how could you have not gotten
more?
It is
the fleece of the century.
Oh my
God. His Achilles could go tomorrow and he could be out for 18 months and come back and he'd still be better than 99% of the NBA.
Yeah. I always say the players aren't getting paid too much, somebody is willing to pay them too much. And yes. I think that is the big difference here in that conversation that we're having, is that now you're seeing the franchises and maybe league-wide saying, we can't do this and build a winner that makes sense because it's taking up 35% of our salary cap.
And even just percent of the cap.
For one guy. And one guy.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that you know, the billionaire owners should get all the money.
No.
In fact, there should probably be less money in sports. That's part of the problem, is because it's still just a percentage. Like, it was 35% 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But because there's so much money there now, what are you going to tell a guy who you just gave $500 million to? Like, that's going to be like Victor Wembanyama, when he's up for his 9-year extension, is going to get $500 million fully guaranteed. He is going to make $100 million a year over 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you going to tell him?
Yeah.
You can't tell him bleep.
Right. And I think that is where the Mavericks made that message. I think that's why the Kings made that deal right now, instead of waiting until the offseason, especially. You know, I don't know if they could have gotten anything more, but is this going to be the new reality of maybe teams are giving up or getting back less than a lot of the public thinks they should, because we have to rewire ourselves to what these trades mean and how much value you're going to be getting back. Because if we were to look back at it in a few years, you know, we looked at the Dame trade, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Dame trade was so complex and there were so many parts to it, because it wasn't just, you know, two teams going one for one, right? Mm-hmm. It was the Blazers, the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Suns. Mm-hmm. That was a four-team deal to make that happen. And what the Blazers ended up getting was DeAndre Ayton, Robert Williams, Malcolm Brogdon, Tumani Kamara via the draft, and then they got 3 first-round picks and then 2 pick swaps out of it. I think that may be like a thing of the past, unless you can get 4 teams to agree on it. And like, getting 4 teams to agree on a deal
anything
that big was insane.
Yeah.
But to have, and at the time we were like, damn, the Blazers are getting rid of Dame, Nurk, and then Nasir Little and Keon Johnson.
Now, was Keon went earlier.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was part of the deal to go to Phoenix with Nurk. Mm-hmm. No? Oh. Never mind. So it was Dame, Nasir, and Nurk, and we're like, those are two pretty big pieces to Blazers being very successful in Dame and Nurk. Well, they got a distressed asset in return in DeAndre Ayton, which that was Phoenix saying, we're not going to be tied to this anymore. Like, they kind of did the same thing there. But
I tell you right now, they'd kill to have DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, they would.
They'd kill to have him.
But the Blazers got three first-round picks, and not all of them were good either.
No, two of them are good. Two of them are good. And they traded one mildly good one that slots in between in 2029.
The Denny Advia trade, too, that is a second of two first-round picks, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was like a, all right, we're going to send that to Washington for a guy we know can play instead of gambling with the 14th overall pick. We'll be okay with that.
And a pick that they didn't really like anybody there that much. Not as much as they liked Denny Avdia.
What did they end up, what was the return for Brogdon again in the Brogdon deal? When the Blazers got rid of Malcolm Brogdon?
Oh, they sent it was Brogdon 2 firsts and 2 seconds for Denny Avdia.
For Denny Avdia.
And the first was the
the
2014 pick. Or the 14th pick of the draft last year, who's Bob Carrington, and then the second most valuable of the picks in 2028 between Portland, Boston, Milwaukee, which it's probably going to be a pick in the 20s,
in the mid 20s.
Yeah,
that's a good deal.
No, is it a first round pick? Yeah, is it a highly coveted first round pick? No.
Nope, not bad at all.
And the 14th pick in the draft last year was not highly sought after. The thing that the Wizards valued in that draft was that pick, the road.
And that's where it's just like Ayton or Time Lord at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
If they were to, between now and Thursday, move either one of those pieces, I think we need to continue to frame it as that's still part of the Dame trade.
No, I think it is to an extent, and you have to kind of wonder how far you go with that before it goes too far, because one thing can turn into another, can turn into another, can turn into another. I think basically 2 years is safe. I think that's after 2 years, that's kind of been the cycle of the assets being used to their maximum, but through proxy or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens if either of those guys are moved. Like I know teams are interested in bigs right now. It's just a matter of which ones they go after. And there have been multiple teams that have called them Rob Williams. I know that for a fact. So whether or not it's like anything that matters,
Houston.
Like they're not giving away from second round picks. Like people can get that out of their head. It's not happening. So
no,
it's just not happening. But beyond that, that's kind of where things sit right now, which is now a perfect time to transition to the Portland Trailblazers winning 7 of 8. And being, I'm not kidding, the hottest team in the NBA over the last 8 games.
Guys, gals, they're playing good basketball.
They are, and they're actually, the numbers even say so. We'll get to that and more coming up here next. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
The Portland Trailblazers are the hottest team in the NBA.
That can't be true.
It's 100% true. Over the last 8 games, they have the best net rating in the league.
Oh.
Let that sit. Let me go ahead and say that again. Over the last 8 games, they have the best net rating in the league. It is absolutely bonkers. I should say not net rating, the best plus minus in the league. Okay. What they have done is they're winning games by an average of 12 points.
My gosh. And when you look at it, though, here's the other thing that's crazy about it. 6 of those wins have come against playoff teams.
Mm-hmm. Their only loss has come in a relatively close game to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Miami, Orlando, twice. Phoenix and Milwaukee. They just have Orlando's number, and Paolo Banchero never wants to see Tumani Kamara ever again. But they have been playing at a really high level on both sides of the floor. And to think about, you mentioned plus minus over the last 8 games. If you look at where they were at, like, they had the second worst plus minus in the entire NBA. Only second to the Wizards.
I should say they had the second best, because when I looked at this last night, the Cavs game had not gone final.
Oh, yeah.
And they won by 40.
Well, we could take that away.
Yeah.
Because if you go back to when this started, you would look at, like, point differential, and the Blazers were, like, at minus 8 point.
It was nasty.
4 or 7 or whatever. Now on the season, it's -5.8, which is a dramatic shift for the Portland Trailblazers. Mm-hmm. Now, is it any different than where they are in the Western Conference standings? No, they're still the third worst team in the Western Conference.
And the thing is, they're going to stay there. They really can't go up and they really can't go down.
So what you're telling me...
They're going to end up probably with the 7th best lottery odds. Now, the Bulls are going to try to shut things down. And it's a matter of like how much the Blazers do or don't get done at the trade deadline and then who they shut down or don't shut down after the All-Star break. I think this is where they're going to end up now.
They got I think one that, against the Bulls.
I think that 5th spot is probably gone.
Yeah, that's a bummer. So they need to make up 4 games on the Nets and the Raptors. And we went over this when we were talking about the Blazers' ability to turn the faucet off. They have got remaining 1 game against the Brooklyn Nets and 2 games against the Toronto Raptors. They need to make up 4 games each on those to catch those 2 teams. It's going to be really tough to do, especially if they're playing at this level right now. But I think when you go back to how well this team has played, they've been doing it not just with sitting there and saying, hey, all right, Ant, take over, carry us. It has been with young players' growth. Scoot Henderson, his last 10 games have been outstanding. Shaedon Sharpe has played really well and bought into that role off the bench. Denny Avdija, whether it is him scoring 30 or 28, take those out. He's been playing his best basketball as well. Tumani Kamara continues to be Mr. Steady as he goes. And look, DeAndre Ayton has been playing like the guy who was drafted number 1 overall.
Some of the best basketball of his career.
But this is the problem with DeAndre Ayton is that as quickly as it comes to this peak, he can hit that valley very quickly as well.
And the interesting thing is, like, you take a look at the Phoenix game the other night. Tumani Kamara leads them in minutes. He has one of his best games as a pro. 18 points, 10 rebounds, 4 steals. He was an absolute terrorist. Like, don't even just count the steals. Like,
he was a terrorist?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, he was a terrorist on the basketball court. Absolute terrorist. I mean, just the amount of just dysfunction and dismay that he causes. Like, teams are actively going away from him.
They should.
Like, whoever he is on, they're like, we're not going to, that's not what we're targeting right now. There was a period in the game where the Suns are like, okay, we're gonna find Scoot and Shaedon. That's who we're going to target. Because they were staying away from the drives because DA was actually turning off the water at the rim, which has been insane for him for the last 10 days. Been a nightmare. Jeremy Grant has played unreal defense since he came back from his jaw injury. Well,
yeah.
He missed, the game with the ankle. But he blocked a Kevin Durant fadeaway.
That's hard to do.
The list of people who've done that in the NBA ever is probably maybe 5. Like, that's such an insane thing to have happen. And it's like he has been taking on, him and 2 have been taking on assignments up and down the lineup, regardless of who it is. And they have done it masterfully. Like, and so much is emanating from their front court, from 2, Jeremy, and DA, and it is allowing everyone else to be so disruptive, so destructive. Like, Scoot is gambling and passing lanes. Shaedon, gets the steal and breaks out and gets the windmill dunk. Like,
that was dope.
Oh, God. And I was so glad he looked back over his shoulder and nobody came, because we were like, we haven't had one of these in a while. One of the social media folks, she's sitting next to me, and she goes, I've never seen one of those in person. She's like,
oh, really?
Because, like,
that's a moment.
Well, you don't get many, like, those opportunities. And when they do, not the entire social media team doesn't always travel or, those opportunities. Like, she's newer here, so she didn't see it last year. And she was like, that was really cool to see. I go, yeah, watching a guy jump 40 inches plus in the air and throw down a windmill mid-dunk or mid-game is super dope.
This team is not tanking, and I think people need to get that. We talked about this last week. They're not tanking because they're not playing like a team that's tanking, and you're not seeing minutes like a team that is organizationally tanking right now. They are
post All-Star break. I think you could see the vets that are here get shut down. And here's the thing. Your young guys will continue to play. Everybody's like, they Scoot and Shaedon need to play. They're playing enough right now. You're getting development. Things are working. Chauncey's pushing the right buttons.
They play 25 and 24 minutes apiece.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's entirely fine. Especially when it's that productive. And the thing that I will say again, if they shut down the veterans and these guys are playing more minutes, they will lose some games. Mm-hmm. They might win some surprising games, but they will lose a lot of games because of the inconsistency of young guys.
I think where they're at is they're saying, we're not going to be able to catch the Washingtons. The bottom three, you're not going to catch those teams regardless, right? Which are the teams with the best odds. So they're looking at it saying, let's just ride the hot hand while we have it right now. And when it does come back down to earth, then that's, I think, when you see them maybe turn it off. And that's, look, development was number one this year. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this. They want to develop young guys. If you are watching the Portland Trailblazers, hell, you don't even have to watch it. If you can just follow along, you will notice that
the difference in those guys.
They are playing so much better. Mm-hmm. Whether it is Scoot Henderson, Shaedon Sharpe, Tumani Kamara,
Denny Avdia.
Those guys are playing so much better, and they don't want to stunt that right now. You can see that. Does it help them land a Cooper Flagg? No. But I'm hoping that everything that we're seeing with the NBA right now, with Luka Doncic getting traded, De'Aaron Fox is getting traded, hey, I just hope they're WWE in this thing, and they're going to reward the Portland Trailblazers for trying.
There you go. Coming up next.
That's what I hope.
All right.
Because that's all I have is hope.
You're not wrong. We'll close up today's show. We'll take a look at the Portland Trailblazers and the Phoenix Suns. Round two. The Trailblazers are dogs again. Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan. The Blazers have been covering machines lately. They've covered, I want to say, 9 of their last 10 or 11 of their last 12.
Bet. This is when they turn.
Continue. Do not bet young teams. My PSA, do not bet young teams because you never know when it's going to go sideways.
Yeah.
But they are 4.5-point dogs to the Phoenix Suns tonight. Just throwing that out there.
How many?
4.5-point dogs at home to a team they just beat the ever-living crap out of.
Yeah.
And there's noise around Kevin Durant being traded. So
I'm not. I don't like it. Just yeah, wait, by the way.
Throwing that
Kevin Durant, noise of him getting traded. Go back to the Warriors. I saw that today, like right before our show started.
Yeah.
It was like Kevin Durant to the Dubs. They're pushing all in. They want to give.
Team saw Luka get moved, and they said, "Screw it, make the phone call."
Well, and they've been very aggressive. They want to give Steph one last shot at winning.
I think they also want to forecast that they want that, and they kind of also want Steph to request a trade because they want to be out of the old guy business. A lot like the other teams.
Light years ahead of what everybody else is thinking.
Smarter than everybody in the room. Get rid of the guy you currently have for the mystery box.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Duh.
It could be a boat.
It could. Clay Thompson back? Could, with his captain hat?
Could be a boat.
Could be a boat. Well, this day was busy.
We didn't touch really anything that we had on the dock other than three things.
Yeah.
So.
It's okay.
It'll be a busy day tomorrow.
Yeah. 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 All right. Well, we got the Super Bowl. But we'll talk Super Bowl tomorrow?
Maybe.
Yeah. We will talk Blazers tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because they play the Suns tonight.
And it's a back-to-back, too.
It is a back-to-back. And so we got Blazers on Wednesday, too. All right, up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's Prime Time with Isaac and Sook. Have a great Monday, everybody. See you Tuesday from noon to 3 right here on The Fan.
Bye.